Welcome to Cartoonist Kayfabe. My name is Jim Rugg.
I'm Ed Piskor.
Ed, today we're going to look at a very unusual graphic novel. As far as I know, the only graphic novel ever published by Holloway House, the kind of legendary crime fiction imprint, or crime nonfiction imprint.
Or publishers of Iceberg Slim's Pimp, as everybody knows it.
That's probably the best way to say it. Before we dive into this, let's take a look at what we have out. My latest comic book, Octobrion in 1976, world's first blacklight comic, is now available in comic shops everywhere. Wherever you get comics, you can find this. It is blacklight, fluorescent ink, unlike any other comic you've ever seen, and it is selling, man. So if you want one of these, pick it up soon, because we just got a big order from Diamond, and we are nearing the end of our print run. And I don't know if we're reprinting this, because it was not an easy book to make. So if this sounds appealing to you at all, if you like unique comic books, pick Octobrion in 1976 up now while you still can.
Patreon.com/Ed Piskor. Serializing my Red Room comics up on there for the early adopters. $3 get you the archive. I put up at least 2 pages per week as we are solidifying the actual print publishing schedule. It's going to be probably sometime early-ish next year, which means I'm probably going to have to increase the frequency of Patreon entries.
Got to go to the bi-weekly, like the bi-monthly X-Men.
Potentially. And this past week was a four-page week, man. So the pages keep churning, and there's at least 4 dozen of them up there as we speak.
Man, the more pages that get up there, the better that bargain becomes.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Donald Goen's Daddy Cool graphic novel. Artwork by Alfredo Alcala. Donald Goens is, as you mentioned, a contemporary of Iceberg Slim. I found his writing whenever I was going through a big crime fiction run, and same time I found Iceberg Slim's Pimp, I found Donald Goens. This kind of writing, I can't remember where I found it listed, but it was described as being like popular prison reading. You know, as being like maybe the number one prison reading books. And Goens is, you know, written more books than Iceberg Slim to give it some context. They are both published by Holloway House. And so you can see Robert Beck, a.k.a. Iceberg Slim, and his books, Donald Goens, about twice as many. These have quite a history. So, you know, if you get into crime fiction and kind of the into like 60s, 70s, you know, post-noir, into the 60s, 70s crime fiction, you will find Donald Goens. Like, this is a good-selling author, a troubled author. You know, most of his work is fiction, but they frame it as if it's based on, you know, he's writing about people he knows kind of stuff, very street-level crime kind of things, had his own demons and battles with heroin, and was killed at a very young age in his house by you know, criminal associates, I suppose, is maybe the best way to phrase it. If you're interested in his biography, Donald Writes No More, also published by Holloway House, will get into all of that in his history, both as criminal past, but also as a writer who really became very prolific over the years. So Donald Goen's Daddy Cool was adapted. This is 1984. We looked at Saber recently as being a direct market black and white graphic novel, and it feels like it reminds me of this. You know, this came a couple years later, probably after that graphic novel direct market, you know, had been established. You know, a lot of companies started doing their graphic novels for the direct market, and somebody must have come to Holloway House with this idea and sold them on it, is my guess as to how this come about. And so 1984, as I said, and Don Glut is your writer who is adapting this. Alfred Alcala, we know probably from Conan, has had a long career, I think, starting in the late 60s, early 70s. Filipino artist, there was a wave of those that came in. There must have been an agent or a publisher or somebody that kind of scouted those, almost like the British invasion, because a number of Filipino artists come into the comics industry in the 70s there. And Alfredo Alcala, probably one of the best known of that group. So you'll see both his line work that is, if you're a fan of his, easily recognizable, but also this grayscaling, like with the screen tones, to really create a nice finished look. Whenever I compare it to Saber, that's what I'm comparing it to. You know, it looks good in black and white. To me, this does not look like a book that ever needed color or was ever conceived as being done in color. You know, like my guess is this was the plan from the get-go. And you know, you'll see Daddy Cool is the main character. He's a hitman, and he prefers to use knives and carries them, throws them, executes his hits with them, and he's out, you know, to travel around to do this. So he's out on the road doing this. Whenever he gets home from this mission, if you will, he finds his daughter in outside of his house in a car with her boyfriend making out. He doesn't appreciate that. The first of many confrontations between he and his daughter and he and his daughter's boyfriend, and followed by confrontations with he and his wife over his daughter carrying on and being out too late. This leads to a rift between father and daughter, and eventually they part ways. And she goes down kind of a dark road with this young man that she decides to shack up with, who starts pimping her out. You can imagine Daddy Cool is not going to stand for that. It's pretty straightforward, you know. I mean, it's a crime comic. You can kind of see where it's going from the get-go. The beauty of it is really in the execution here. You know, it's beautiful artwork. The one thing that I am confused by, if you look, there are these pages. There are several gray tone or screen tone. It's not duo shade, but several different techniques that are used for the gray. One of them is this dry brush, like crayon pencil something. And I thought it might have been used for flashbacks or for domestic scenes, you know, like whenever it's when he's at home, whenever he's not being the assassin. But it's not. It just kind of fluctuates, you know. So I don't know if that's a particular type of page. Do you think that's kind of a duo shade technique that's coming out there?
No, it's because you can see like the different values of it. It's that coquille board. It's like a pebbly paper that you use like one of those. You could use like a black Prismacolor pencil, and there's a certain way to add the value with the side of the pencil that creates like a uniform kind of texture like that. But it's clear that like Alcala is like using whatever he has at like close in hand right then and there, you know.
It really is. And you'll see, like, you know, the pages that have that texture, and then they're followed by pages that don't use that at all.
Yeah.
Or you know, there'll be six pages in a row, and then like the same scene where it shifts from one technique to another. I think you're right. I think that a lot of comics maybe were produced that way, and then we spend all of our time looking back on them and really taking them apart.
I mean this is great, because it feels like lurid, like paperback cover artwork.
Yes.
You know, like every panel feels that way, especially with the coquille texture.
Yeah, for sure. It even, I think that sums it up pretty well. I was going to say, it reminds me a little bit of some of the adult comics that you would find maybe in the 60s and 70s, but for sure, the lurid quality is there. In a way, like outlaw comics or something, you know, I think of that with the black and white, and especially these comics that have like more black ink than white space. And even the settings, right? Daddy Cool's headquarters, whenever he is at home, is this pool hall that I guess he owns. It's, you know, it's part of his, he's very successful as a businessman. He's in the process of retiring, and he has these stepsons. So he's kind of very good at his job as a hitman, not as good at his job of like keeping order in his house. So he has his daughter who he cares about, who has gone out and lives with her boyfriend who, you know, turned pimp. And then he has these stepsons that he doesn't get along with, and he blames them for letting his daughter run off, and, you know, they need to go find her and help him out essentially, and kind of considers them useless. Like, fair amount of domestic abuse goes on between everybody. And finally what happens is his sons knock off a numbers house, and it's an associate of Daddy Cool's, and the associate and him go back decades, and they're like, look what happened. Some atrocious crimes were committed in knocking over that house too, some very personal stuff. And so Daddy Cool was tasked with basically his last contract is on his stepson while he's still trying to work out the stuff with his daughter. It's a fun, you know, it's kind of a fun story, and by fun I mean within the context of pulpy crime fiction. It's not a happy story. It ultimately comes down to a showdown between he and his daughter, and in order to save his daughter, he pretty much has to make a big sacrifice. So I've probably spoiled a lot of this, but you can track these things down. Reminds me a little bit of Ken Landgraf too, some of these panels, the New York City Outlaws artist that we talk about from time to time. A lot of brush strokes, a lot of great drawing, and totally fits the story and the setting. It's a pretty good adaptation.
Yeah, I'm curious when like Alcala came to the States, if this is like a super early work or perhaps like, you know, his first work, because it's not so mature, but also Holloway House known for you know, well, let's say very small advances. So I don't know that these guys got paid. I'm sure he didn't get paid what he's worth to draw this thing.
He does a lot of work too as an inker and a finisher, and so he's doing everything. That's not all he does. You know, he does do all the artwork sometimes, and doing all the artwork here. So, you know, maybe he takes a little bit less money to get a nice portfolio piece where he gets to do everything himself. I don't know what this sold like, but this may have sold really well too. You know, Holloway House was a very much a commercial publisher, so it's possible they had a good business plan here, and you know, it may have been a good, successful project for Alcala. I don't know the details on that. I tried looking that stuff up and I don't see very many mentions of this. I have books on Alcala and this isn't even mentioned. So it's also possible this was a job that didn't go well. They didn't do additional graphic novels, but you can see the sales part of it, right? This is an excerpt from Donald Writes No More, another one of their publications about this author. So in some ways, almost another way to just everything's an advertisement for something else.
Right.
But attractive format. It's that 8.5 by 11 oversize that you would see with the Marvel graphic novel formats, which were up and running at this point. Similar in size to Saber that we looked at, which was several years before this. And I wish there were more of these.
A lot of questions, you know. I wonder if this, you know, was able to rely on the same distribution as the Holloway House stuff. I mean, you know, known for dime store paperback books, like, could this have invaded such a space? You never hear it mentioned as being, like, you know, right there next to the Dungeons and Dragons modules at the Walden Books or anything like that. So, you know, lost to history, man.
Call out that it's 325. That first Saber graphic novel that would have been 1978, 6 years earlier, was $6 and fewer pages. I don't know if that has any bearing on any of this stuff. You know, Holloway House was known for paperbacks, which was notoriously cheap format. This was $1.75, contemporary publication of this book, to give, you know, a little bit of comparison. This is a bigger book, so I'm sure it costs more, you know, just the printing of it and stuff. But I don't know where it would have been sold. You know, it feels like it would make sense on a magazine rack, but that would be a pretty limited time little window to actually sell it. So I don't know. These do float around. You can definitely find them. I mean, I tracked it down, so not impossible to get. But if you're into this kind of like exploitation movies, lurid crime fiction paperbacks, this fits right in. There's no compromise in terms of story. As you saw us flipping through this, this is a hard R, both sex and violence throughout this thing. So they don't compromise in that regard, which makes it all the cooler, you know. Definitely an adult graphic novel. This one is not all ages. Not YA, despite his daughter playing a prominent role in this story. Not YA.
Or it is YA to the Generation X era.
Could be.
All right, K favors, like, follow, subscribe to the YouTube channel, hit the bell, we'll notify you when the next videos are available.
You can subscribe to the Cartoonist Kayfabe e-newsletter at the links below this video to keep up with everything we're doing. You can find Cartoonist Kayfabe merch and t-shirts at the links below this video.
Give these dudes your marching orders, Jim.
Read more comics.